Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with one another. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of God for the people of God. Admittedly, I don't know if any of you will admit this, but there have been times and places in my life where I had wished that God would heap a fiery coal on the top of someone's head, would strike them down with some holy vengeance, because I was feeling like what had happened to me was just not fair. I'm sure that everyone in this room can relate to this feeling that you have been injured in a way that is just beyond fair. Maybe at the hands of a spouse, a parent, a sibling, a child. Maybe in your inner circle, your BFFs have betrayed you, a coworker, maybe someone in a position of authority over you, a teacher, a scout leader, a pastor, someone that you thought you really could trust has betrayed you. So my question to you is this: how can you be released from this injury? How can you get over it when you feel like you have been hurt so bad, you've been injured so unfairly, that they don't deserve your forgiveness? I don't know if by a show of hands y'all would admit, is there someone in your life, like, can you think of somebody like off the top of your head that you know you have harbored some unforgiveness with? Is anyone willing to raise your hand if there's anyone in their life that you can't forgive? Okay, thank you. The rest of you are liars or disillusioned. So this sermon is for all of us. So when you are going to start off and like decide, I'm going to forgive someone, you're gonna be faced with a treacherous journey, one that is not really walked by many. You've got two paths when it comes to forgiveness, and only two here, okay? So you can go the path of kind of least resistance. You can go the way that most of us choose to go, sort of harboring it, holding on to the injury. Not really, maybe you're not even subconsciously, like purposely doing that. You're just subconsciously holding on to the hurt. You can go that route, and you will find at the end of that route the same amount of pain and hurt and resentment that was at the beginning of your journey. Or you can choose the path that is often not trod, the courageous thing that happens when you consciously decide, I'm going to forgive someone. And you're going to start journeying on a path that will eventually lead you to freedom. It's not about the person that has injured you being in prison or captivity, because a lot of times they don't even know they did anything to you. It is about you that is a prisoner of this unforgiving heart. Unfortunately for us, there's not a third way. And I think this third way is the way that society paints is like the right way. This magical land of forgive and forget. If you are beating yourself up because you have got this injury that happened to you and you cannot forget it, take heart. There is no magical rainbow unicorn that is like going to ride you off into this land where you are able to just forget this horrible thing that has happened to you. It's just not possible. So back in the real world, we're left with these two choices. What are we going to do? Are we going to hold on to this hurt, turning it over in our mind over and over and over again, or are we going to make the choice to begin the process of letting go of it? I know what you're saying. Some of you are saying, but you just don't know what they did to me. You just don't know what they did to my child. You just don't know what they did to my mom. If you'll just bear with me, I recognize that I'm asking a lot for you to even consider forgiving some of these grievous acts, or not so grievous. But if you'll just wrap your mind around what it might mean for you and the freedom you might get, maybe by the end of this message, you'll decide that you're going to take that path that's less taken and begin the process of not only forgiving somebody, but healing yourself. So I've set myself up for a tall order. Thank you, Rick, for giving me this one. But if I'm going to talk to you about what forgiveness is, I think we're going to have to start with what forgiveness is not. Because more times than not, we have a misconception about what forgiveness is. And I think that keeps us from actually being willing to forgive somebody. Because we have this idea that we need to feel forgiving. Like, well, I just don't feel like forgiving that person. I just don't feel like it, you know, and it's just not in my heart. So I can't forgive someone if I don't feel forgiveness. Not true. You can forgive someone if you don't feel like it. In fact, if you're waiting around to feel like forgiving someone, you're not going to forgive them. Amen, sister. Forgiveness is not a weakness, okay? It's not like you're giving in to this person. It takes a lot to stand in your own skin and acknowledge, okay, this person really has put a lot of pain on me. You're going to declare that you're going to be strong enough to just suck it up and forgive them. That is not weak. It is very, very strong, actually. And forgiveness does not mean we're just going to wipe over everything and pretend like it didn't happen, hiding from it. We're just going to kind of pretty over it. No, you're going to have to acknowledge that this thing happened to you. You're going to have to really face it down and think about it a little bit. Okay, this is so important. It does not mean that what they did was okay. It does not minimize, justify the wrong that they've committed. It is not, you are not saying, I forgive you, therefore what you did is okay. We are not excusing their behavior or their actions at all. They did something pretty bad. And you have a right to be upset about it. But this is your chance to begin the process of letting go of that. And it's not even based on their actions. This is hard for me to wrap my brain around. You often, like, I play this game with myself. Like, if you would just admit what you did or, like, just apologize to me, then, you know, I'll totally forgive you. But if you're waiting on someone to apologize to you, you're going to be waiting around a long time. Because a lot of times people don't even recognize that they've offended you in such a bad way. They're either too narcissistic, too caught up in their self, or just meant it as a little joke. They didn't mean to embarrass you at the party when they were drunk as a skunk, okay? So if you came to them and said, like, you really embarrassed me, 9 times out of 10, they'd probably be like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Okay, forgiveness is not conditional. It's not a, if you'll do this and this and this and this, then I think I can forgive you. It's not, just like God's forgiveness for us is completely unconditional, a true forgiving Christian heart is not based on condition, which is hard. Unfortunately for us, we want justice to be served. We want those burning hot coals to be come down from heaven. And, you know, we want a glowing light around them and everybody know in the world, this is a bad person. They did a horrible thing to me. But that's not, forgiveness is not justice. Justice could come in a just resolution if something was so grievous it got taken to the court of law, of course. But forgiveness can occur even if there's no justice. And it usually happens that way, actually. It's not, oh, this is a fun one for, like, families. It's not about changing the other person. You're not going to change that person. And don't play a game with yourself like, I'm going to forgive them and then they're not going to do this anymore. Because chances are, if they've got a pattern that's already established, they're going to continue doing this thing. So you're going to have to make the decision if you're going to continue to be in a relationship with someone that's going to continue injuring you, forcing you to offer them forgiveness. Which means forgiveness is not equal trust. You can forgive someone and decide, that person is such a punk, I don't want them in my life anymore, and that is okay, okay? This is a truth-telling thing for you. You don't have to forgive someone and then just welcome them back to injure you. You can forgive them and release them to the universe. And, of course, we've already mentioned this. I'm sorry, I do not have a magic bottle of forgetting potion. But forgiveness is not something that means you have to forget it in order to fully forgive someone. You're not going to forget some things that happened to you. I remember some things. I was in a circle of what I would call kind of, and I was one of them, mean girls in middle school. And the vicious things we did to each other, I will never forget the rest of my life. Now, of course, I've forgiven them, and I hope they've forgiven me because we were immature little bratty girls. But I'll never forget some of the things that happened. I'll never forget having a little, you know, back in the day before cell phones, some parents that got tired of not having a phone would give their children a little line of their own. And I remember being on a phone call one time, answered it, and this girl said, just wait tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be hell for you. And my mom, who I did not know, was listening on another line, was like, oh, no, ma'am, it's not going to be hell for her. It's going to be hell for you if you do anything to her. So sometimes it helps to have a mom around. Anyways, you're not going to forget it. Or at least I don't. Maybe you can. And forgiveness is not the same as reconciling, okay? Reconciliation may follow. Maybe you could establish relationship with the offender, especially if the offender is like your spouse or, you know, a parent, someone that you want to stay in relationship with. It's important to begin that reconciliation process. But if it's not someone in your close circle, you can forgive them and release them. And just sort of to wrap all that section up, forgiveness is not going to change what happened to you. It's not going to change the past, but it's going to give you an opportunity to have a preferred future. You are going to have an opportunity to be healed and freed from this burden, this really heavy burden that you might not even realize is weighing you down and inhibiting not only your relationship with the offender, but your relationship with new people, your relationship with yourself, and a lot of times your relationship with God. So, now that we have talked about what forgiveness is not, how about we take a look at what forgiveness is? When you are going to really forgive someone, you're going to have to make, I'm going to keep saying this word, a decision. You're going to have to make a decision to release, to embrace, to pardon, and to grow. And I'm sure there's other things that you're going to have to do too, but we'll just start there. If we can get us on this track, and I'm going to practice with what I preach with some people that I've not forgiven, I'm going to start working on this. Release. What do I mean by release? Well, chances are if something has terribly happened to you, or if you were greatly offended, or even if this has happened like a really long time ago or just recently, you are turning that thing over in your mind like on the daily. You are letting it play through your mind, and the more it plays through your mind, the more angry you get, the more bitter you get, the more resentful you get, and then this thing in your head is like poison going through your whole body, your soul, your mind, infecting you. And it's hard to shut pause on that. I understand that. I'm asking a lot. So instead of letting this thing play through your mind where you're the victim and the assailant is Freddy Krueger and it's Nightmare on Elm Street, instead of like playing that, you've got to hit the pause button. And you're saying, I can't do that. I don't know how. It just comes to my mind. I just think about it. Well, there is this thing called capturing thoughts in Christ. It's kind of biblical. It's the same principle if you were being tempted. You know, there's this temptation floating through the air and it sort of like comes through your mind. You can either like grab a hold of it and make a nest of it and start hanging out in there and start thinking about it and start talking about it and start kind of tiptoeing into acting out on it. And then it becomes a pattern and then it becomes a habit and then it becomes an addiction. Or as it enters your brain, you can capture it and dismiss it. What does that look like? It looks like a great deal of work. So you might not be ready to make that kind of commitment. It means, here comes that thought, I probably need to start praying right now. Maybe I need to get my Bible out. Maybe it's so overwhelming I can't let it go that I have to redirect myself. So I'm going to go play with my kids, or I'm going to go bake a cake for my neighbor that's elderly, or I'm going to go for a run, or I'm going to get back on my knees and say, God, just take this thing away from me. And as you practice this, you will find that little memory, that thing, that whatever that little tape that's playing in your imagination that is really controlling you will begin to play less and less and less. Instead of haunting you on a daily or weekly basis, you'll begin to notice, well, I haven't thought about that in an entire month. Practicing it, it's kind of like an art, is going to get you closer to being able to release it. But just letting it play, just loud and stereo sound in your ears and in your imagination is not going to do you any good. It's difficult to release, I understand, but if you can begin that process of releasing, you'll be better off. Okay. Embrace. Now, I'm not even asking you to embrace the person that's offended you. I'm not even asking for that kind of embrace. I'm asking for you to embrace this concept, this Christian principle of grace and mercy. So we are afforded grace and mercy by the cross that we do not deserve. We stand guilty as charged. We are a sinless, broken people that make mistakes and act selfishly, yet we are loved. Last week, Pastor Rick talked about how much do you forgive your brother? 70 times 7. Well, if we're talking about how much does God forgive us, it's 70 times 7 times eternity. You cannot work yourself into a place. There is nothing that you can do to create something that God will not forgive you for. There is nothing that you can do to work yourself in a place where you step outside of the unconditional love of Christ. You cannot cause God not to love you anymore. And that might be good news for somebody sitting here today, because they're thinking, there's that thing I've never told anybody about that I'm going to carry to my grave. And that whole time I'm wondering, is God going to forgive me for that? Yes, he is. You are fully and freely forgiven. And what I'm asking from you is, if God has extended that measure of forgiveness to each of us, we've got to start practicing extending a little bit of mercy and grace to other people that have offended us. So just, it's not about them. It's about your relationship with God. As you begin to mold Christ and like model his behavior and extend mercy and grace to these people that don't deserve it, you will find something happening inside of you. Your soul will be quickened and you will become more Christ-like in the process. Who doesn't need a little bit of that? Pardon. Pardon. Webster defines pardon as an act of officially saying that someone who was judged to be guilty of a crime will be allowed to go free and will not be punished. And for, you know, our Law and Order fans in the house, you know that when someone who maybe they did commit the crime has been, you know, ruled not guilty, they will never be tried for that again. It is called double jeopardy. You cannot be tried again for something that you were claimed to be innocent of. Boy, is this something we all need to work on. This, to me, I see a lot in families. And my family, I grew up in a hot-headed Italian environment. And we, you know, we're good fighters. Loud and, you know, got our point out and then walked away. But then the funny thing is there was no apology. It was, let's go have a bowl of spaghetti and some tiramisu and everything's okay. Like, there's no apologizing. We just assume we're family and this is what families do. So I marry someone who, that's not the way they were raised at all. He doesn't know about this loud, why did you do that? Oh, I thought we were all cool. What's wrong? We had some supper together. He's like expecting, like, you just screamed at me. Like, are you not going to say you're sorry? So over the last 20 so years, we've had to work on that. Like, how do we navigate these spaces, conflict resolution, and how do we offer and receive forgiveness? And one thing that I know that I and he are not so great at is this releasing and pardon thing, because you've always got that little spade in your back pocket that you're hanging on to when your argument gets a little heated, you know, and you feel like you might be losing. You're like, yeah, well, what about that? 7 years ago that happened. And the other person is like, hold up, you're holding that against me? I accuse my husband of having an elephant brain, because he'll pull stuff out from like our first year of marriage. I'm like, you're still holding that against me? So we've got to work on this thing about pardon. And part of forgiving someone is being willing to pardon them. So you no longer have a free pass to pull out those things that happened years ago or months ago. If you're forgiven them, they are set free. Amen. And this is an opportunity for growth. I know everybody is looking for a place and a way to grow in their spirituality, right? Well, by exercising forgiveness, you are actually saying to God and this person, if you've been brave enough to confront them, which you don't have to confront them to forgive them, that I am standing on my relationship with Christ, and I know that this was a wrong to me, but because I have been forgiven so many times, I'm going to forgive. And a magical thing will happen. You will begin to be released from that burden. That burden over time will get less and less. You will get less angry, less bitter, less mad, and you will find this wonderful thing you didn't know existed called joy and contentment. And instead of every time you get into a new relationship with someone, you're on guard expecting them to do this horrible thing to you again, you can let your guard down and begin living freely again. So to circle back to that beginning scripture about the, you know, heaping the coals on the head, some of us may think that it is a call for divine vengeance, but I don't believe that's what's happening in this text based on the context of it. I believe that when we offer forgiveness to someone, that especially someone that doesn't deserve it, what we are actually doing is offering mercy, the deepest, most powerful kind of mercy we could. And that mercy is in the form of a divine purging. If you are brave enough to go to that person and say, that thing you did to me when I was 4 years old, that really injured me, and I will never be the same because of that. That is heaping on them the power of God to transform them. It is heaping on them an opening for God to begin to work in their hearts and in their lives. And so not only are you giving yourself a chance to grow, but you're giving that person an opportunity to perhaps meet Christ for the first time. And so that's it. If you can begin to think about letting go, if you can begin to exercise pardon, not throwing that ace on the table, if you can begin to embrace this truth that we are all afforded mercy and grace in a boundless way, I believe that we can get one step closer to being freed from an unforgiving heart. And ultimately, we all find forgiveness here at the table. We all stand guilty, yet we are welcomed as a family of God. All, as Pastor Rick said, are welcome to receive. And I hope that you receive the nourishment that you need, that special little touch from God that will allow you to make the decision to begin forgiving someone that you think you can't forgive. Let's pray. God, I thank you for these people that have gathered here. I just lift them up to you, Lord. I know that there are secret places in many of them that harbor things that have been done to them that are unmentionable. And I just ask that you begin a powerful healing work. Would you let them trust you enough to begin the process of consciously making the decision to let go of it, to be freed and released? I just ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us today and open our eyes to what it would mean to be free in you. In your name I pray.